Okay, we are live on this. For me, it's beautiful. It's beautiful outside. Let me see. It's probably like 60 degrees, not quite, maybe. Good Friday. It's a good Friday. Just to preface this, Facebook is saying it's having problems connecting. So I think I'm just going to be on Rumble and YouTube. So, or maybe if you can see me on Facebook, let me know, but I haven't got a notification. So I don't know. I just don't know, guys. Well, it's been a little bit of a little while since I came on here. Last Friday was my kid's spring break, and my son is a competitive baseball player. He plays in tournaments. I will tell you that is so much fun, especially when you're involved in like politics and like the state of the world and all that. You're just immersed in it. For me to go and just completely check out and watch my son play baseball is just it's one of my favorite things. It's probably my favorite thing to do, actually. Watching your kids play sports is awesome. I'm a big fan of sports as a mom. I think that sports, whether you're good or not, I think it teaches you so much that you can use in life. Discipline, teamwork, exercise, leadership, just being dedicated. And so I was watching him play baseball in Arizona, and got a daughter that plays volleyball, another daughter that's going to start soon. So I'm a busy mom. And if you're a busy mom, you know what that is. Like, yeah. Your afternoons are just, you're in the car. You're in the car. Just that's your new home. So that's where I am. But we went up to the Grand Canyon. I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram, but I posted a little video there of the Grand Canyon. It's just absolutely amazing. I saw the Grand Canyon when I was in high school, but I didn't realize how incredibly gorgeous and vast and deep and wide and expansive it is. It's just, it takes your breath away. It really does. It just, oh my goodness. But you can tell that my throat, I'm dealing with a little bit of a, I think what traveling makes you, meh. So I've got coffee and tea. I'm two-fisting it this good Friday morning. So, and yes, good Friday, man. I actually read the passage of the crucifixion last night to my kids, and I get choked up every time I do it. They're like, "Are you okay, Mom?" I'm like, "It's just like it's just I don't think and I don't want to start crying now, but just to grasp what was done on the cross." And I made a post about just the it is the greatest love story. There's no greater love. And so yes, Good Friday. Good Friday to you guys. All right. There's a lot to discuss. I did a little special with I do a it's a minute with Mama for my Patreon supporters and my Facebook supporters. It's a private, just kind of getting my take on stuff. A hot issue has been the Christ is King issue, and I will address that later in the program. But I do think that it needs to be addressed, especially as a Christian and a follower of Christ. I do want to talk about that. I actually had a good Jewish friend call me yesterday, really concerned, and tearful, and kind of talked with her about some stuff. And I think this is something that we need to talk about. So I'm going to be talking about that soon. But let's start. Let's start with just some stuff that went on this week. We've got the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsing. What is that, you guys? So let's just read through this. The Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed Tuesday, killing six members of crew that were working on the span after the Dolly cargo ship, which is from Singapore. And I did a little background check on this guy, which is interesting, because there's a lot of stuff online, a lot of conspiracies flying around. And I'm not anti-conspiracy. You guys know that. Like I'm full on. Like, hey. I listen to everything. And then you got to learn to filter it, right? I don't think you go all in on something. I don't think it's healthy. I think it's like, oh, that's interesting perspective. But I will say, when you watch the video of the cargo ship, it does look like it takes like a sharp turn into the bridge. It's bizarre. And I'm like, and that I'm watching the video. It's just with your eyes watching the video. It's strange. This port is a very big port in the United States. I think it's the 9th largest port. And then when you start to think about this, like, okay, what if this happened to a ton of ports in the United States? I mean, that would literally cripple the United States. And that's concerning. And I know we've got Pete Buttigieg or whatever, Buttigieg or whatever. I don't know how you say his last name. But he's the guy in charge of infrastructure and making, I mean, in charge of transportation and making sure things run smoothly. And that's concerning. I mean, if we had this happen, like if you're a bad guy, if we had this happen in multiple ports, this just showed vulnerability to me. We're looking at, and then Obama, not Obama, well, that's, oops, Freudian slip. Then Biden gets on the scene and he's like, hey, we're going to pay for this. And I'm like, why are we going to pay for this? Like, why are American taxpayers going to pay for something that a Singapore cargo ship did? Like, if you're in a car accident, do I like say, oh, the federal government, let's get you guys on the phone. I need you to cover this crash that happened. No, I pay for it. My insurance pays for it. So that doesn't make sense to me. And they're talking like it could cost a $400 million or probably twice that to fix it. It's going to take years to repair this. My sister used to drive on that bridge when she worked in DC. And this is a big deal. It's a very big deal. It's very sad about the loss of life in it, involved in this whole thing. And it's just suspicious to me. So I don't know. I'm not going to dive into that kind of stuff. I'm not going to do that. But I do think it's important for everyone to be like, how did this happen? Like, who's, you know, like, was it just an accident? Like, cause it looks like, you know, so, but I came across the late Angela Chow is the sister-in-law of Senator Mitch McConnell. And she was the CEO of a shipping company, but not the owner of the container vessel Dolly that crashed into the Baltimore Bridge. But that there's a connection there. Do you know what I'm saying? Chow, who died in February of 2024, was the CEO of the Foremost Group, an American shipping company, and had no affiliation with Grace Ocean, a Foremost spokesperson said. So people are blaming this on Grace Ocean, but the post on, so this is a fact check I'm reading. The post online inaccurately stated, this is something, this conspiracies that are flying around, stated that Angela Chow, sister-in-law of a Senator Mitch McConnell who drowned in a vehicle 6 days ago, was the CEO of the shipping company and that owned the massive cargo ship that hit the bridge. So she didn't own the shipping company, but she was tied to it. And then you start to dive into the Mitch McConnell family, his wife. There's just, I don't know. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to go all in, like diving in. But I think that something doesn't sit right with me on the whole thing. And so we'll just watch this unfold. I have like a bunch of sisters, guys. So one of my sisters called yesterday and she's like, this is kind of creepy. She's like, but, the movie that the Obamas produced by Netflix, what is the name of it? You guys know the name, just drop the name in it. And it's kind of like about the end of the world, like an EMP, but the film, like one of the beginning parts of the film is this huge cargo ship, like that gets taken over because it's hit like electronically and it like comes up on the shore. She's like, and now we got a cargo ship running into a bridge, causing like massive destruction and impacting our supply line. She's like, it's just weird. So I just feel like it's weird. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to, but I'm a big question everything person, especially during an election year, you guys. So, also, we got the eclipse coming. I wasn't even going to talk about this, but there's stuff going around about the eclipse. What's going to happen with the eclipse? This is a major, major event. And you know, will it be misused? They're saying that things could happen during an eclipse. So just be prepared. That's April 8th. There's lots of stories flying around about that. Leave your comments in the comment section, because I do enjoy, like, I do enjoy when you guys write me or like, have you heard about this? Have you heard about this? Like, I think it's interesting to kind of filter through it all. Let's see. Did you hear about the old painting by Delano? No, I did not. Brett wrote, did you hear about the old painting by Dali named The Broken Bridge and the Dream? No, that's interesting and creepy. Let me know more about that. All right, you guys. So that happened, and that's probably the biggest news of the week, I would think. This is very sad. Jonathan Diller funeral. There's a lot of discussion going on about the Jonathan Diller funeral. He's the NYPD officer that was killed from just a routine traffic stop. And he wouldn't have died if they would have just locked up the perpetrator. Like, this guy that allegedly killed him had been, like, we're talking like 20 raps on his rap sheet. Like, he's like a career criminal. And if he would have just locked him up, Jonathan would have still been alive. But that those are Democrat policies. They continue to release these people back out on the streets until they do a damage so grievous that they have nothing else to do but to lock them up. But it's like, well, the damage has been done. This family lost their, you know, all the people impacted by Jonathan's life, you can't get him back. Like, this is forever permanent. So that's what makes me so just distressed is like, do we have to get to that point? Do we have to get to the point where like a death is committed, a murder is committed, and then we do something about it? Like, if you have someone and you know this person is on the way to killing people, they're going to kill people, they're going to commit crime forever, then they need to be locked up. And the president of the NYPD Sergeants Union said that politicians who detest cops should not attend the funeral. It was kind of a direct slant at Biden, because these people they're not law and order. They're not. We have an increase in crime in our country. We have an increase of all sorts of theft, murder. It's totally skyrocketed under this president. And the lack of support for police officers. Like, if you're a police officer, it's got to be really difficult to do your job when you think about it. These guys, they think they have a run-in with someone that's, you know, committed some kind of crime, and they know, you know, why, I don't even know if I'll lock you up for a day, but you know, these leftist DAs are going to release you back onto the street. Like, so it's hard for them to punish the perpetrators, punish those that are committing crime. But they did invite Trump, and Trump did attend. So that just speaks volumes to me. I mean, if you got police saying, hey, we want to invite the guy that will shut down all of this violence, and we don't want the guy that's allowing this violence to flourish at this funeral. So if you're a parent, if you're a mom like me, I want to feel safe. I want my kids to be safe. I don't want them living in a world where violence is skyrocketing like it is. We've got an open border. We've got millions and millions of people crossing our border that do not have good intentions for Americans, that are hurting Americans. And we've got a president that's doing absolutely nothing about it. Like, nothing. Like, so if you care about your kids, like I do, then you're going to want somebody at the helm of the ship that cares about protecting Americans. It's just common sense. So I feel like it's one for all for one under this president. Like, you just got to do whatever you got to do to survive, because it's just like nuts out there. And it shouldn't be this way. The number one thing the government is supposed to do is protect Americans. Like, that's it. I don't want you to do a lot more. Protect Americans. And they can't do that. So Ronna McDaniel has been hired, and then she was fired by NBC. So I found this very interesting. And it just really exposes the, I don't know, totally biased media. I mean, my goodness, you can't even have someone on there that has somewhat of a different viewpoint. If a person has any conservative bent, if they think that we should, you know, question election integrity, if we think that President Trump is not Satan, like if you don't think he's Satan, we can't hire you. And that's all you're hearing, which is sad. And it's very concerning because I know so many people that's all they do is watch mainstream media. Like that's all. They would never like stumble upon like something that I do. Like, no. It's all mainstream media. They sit down and they watch 60 Minutes, you know. They watch the nightly news. And that's the information that they're getting. So if you have a panel of people that are all leftists, all of your hearing is leftist talking points. Well, the people at NBC, the commentators there, were like literally throwing a huge fit. They're like, we can't have Rhonda. Like, we can't have her. She said, so they threw such a big fit that they said, okay, we're not going to have her. And so I made this quick satire in case you haven't seen it, because especially on Facebook, guys, I've gone from, used to get like a million views on my videos, and now I get like 1,000 views. So I'll show this to you really quick. And it kind of just gives a quick picture of the bias in mainstream media. Contract that we'd like you to sign. It's just too here at this major mainstream media news outlet. But before we move forward, we just have this simple contract that we'd like you to sign. It's just two requirements, and we'll just discuss them and then we'll move forward. Okay. The first is that you do not question the results of an election. Just don't do it. Unless a Republican wins. If a Republican wins, then, you know, Russia. Okay. And the second, and this is kind of a big one, we require that you hate Donald Trump. I mean, you hate him. You hate him so much. I'm talking loathe him. Loathe him. Okay, so that's it. Are you ready to sign? So that's it. Are you ready to sign? That's all we need. You gotta not question election integrity unless, this is what's so entertaining to me, because watch, if Trump wins in November, you're gonna have so many Democrats, congressional Democrats, that will refuse to certify this election. You'll have the mainstream media saying, no, this is illegitimate. Russia helped him on this one. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be absolutely crazy. They will not accept a Trump win. No, they won't. And it'll be completely fine if everyone out there says, no, he's illegitimate. He didn't really win. But if Republicans do it, if Republicans say, hey, wait a minute, this is suspicious. You're telling me that Biden is the most popular Democrat president to ever be elected, 81 million votes. And to say, okay. Or to question anything revolving the election, you're an election denier and you're scorned. You're scorned. So and honestly, guys, if you're a leftist, if you're a Democrat on him, you know that if a Democrat wins, don't even question a thing. You take this and you shut your mouth, okay? But if a Republican wins, it's all out. This is really shady. Like, I just don't know. I think that Putin is working with the Republican Party. I really do. I really, and it's completely fine to say that. Like, so it's just the bias. And if you're sitting there and you're watching mainstream media, you're not getting the whole picture. You're not. You're listening to a bunch of puppets just basically parrot whatever they're told to say by the globalists that own their organizations. So that's the truth. And it's just so obvious with this recent Rhonda McDaniel higher than fire. Yeah, so the Biden administration is flying migrants into the U.S. so that the border doesn't look as out of control, the head of Border Patrol Union has told the New York Post in an exclusive interview. He adds that and expects an amnesty program in the future to accommodate the millions who have come into the country since the president took office in January 2021. It's just a bait and switch, the National Border Patrol Council President Brandon Judd said on the phone from Texas. They're just paroling people in through airports rather than having them come across the border. They're just going to keep the numbers at around 5,000 border crossings a day. They're going to just keep the border around 5,000 crossing a day and say, oh, look, we cut the numbers, Judd added, saying even the figure was an astronomical high compared with Donald Trump and even the Barack Obama administrations. And what I don't think people understand is that our census, and this is very important to know, our census does not count just legal immigrants. Okay. Our census counts all people. And then the census determines how many congressional seats you get. So, I mean, this is like an obvious ploy to get as many people here as possible and then have a census take place and then add additional Democrat seats. And I don't know how that would make you feel as an American citizen. It should enrage you as an American citizen. Another one of my sisters has, she is married to a Bolivian, and he is doing everything the right way. And it is so disappointing to these immigrants, these legal immigrants who have come here legally, that are taking the right steps, that are doing everything right. And then you have these, then you have the Biden administration flying people in just to get votes. I mean, that's what it's about, right? Like, let's just call a spade a spade. Like, that's what's happening here. Let's even say if you're a Democrat, there's not proper vetting taking place. It's just not. And Laken Riley is a testament to how we don't know who's coming across. We don't know their intentions. We don't know who they are. And it's putting Americans in danger. So this should bother you. Should bother every American that cares about their kids, that cares about their grandkids, that wants safety. I mean, honestly. So whatever. All right. So now I've got a few more minutes and I want to cover the whole Christ is King issue. Now, I know this has been talked about so much. And it's like, if you're a conservative on Twitter, you're like, okay, I'm done. Like, we're good. Like, we've heard it. We got it. But I think it needs to be discussed because this is invoking my Savior. And I will say this. If you're saying Christ is King in a way that's not bringing glory and honor to Jesus, then you're using God's name in vain. And I think that whenever you, I mean, but I really do believe in the power of the spoken word. I believe in what you say holds weight. And once you put weight on your words, they begin to manifest and take place, because the whole book of James is about the power of the tongue, right? And I do believe that when you're invoking God and you're bringing him into the picture, you better have a holiness and a reverence attached to it. And, oh, well, we're just saying it. And a lot of this is being, some people are being accused of using this as a slant at Jewish people. And I see it that way in some circumstances, because there's people out online right now that are not Christian. They're not Christian. They don't even align with my faith. And they're saying it because they hate Jewish people. And they're using it in a disgusting, derogatory way. And that's wrong. Guys, that's using God's name in vain. Like, straight up, that's what it is. And if you're gonna do that, I'm gonna call you out on it. I don't think that's right. I think it's wrong. And as a Christian talking to another Christian, that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to judge one another as Christians. We are. And if I'm like, hey, you're misusing the Father's name, my Savior's name in a way that's not bringing glory and honor and it's not edifying him, knock it off. Knock it off. So yes, Christ is King. He's King of all kings. He's Lord of all lords. He's coming back. Okay. I am a firm believer in biblical scripture. I read the Bible literally. I take it literally. God's word is true. It's Holy Spirit inspired. And I've realized that this has opened a whole door to something that I didn't even know about, you guys. I did not even know that. I'm going to be honest. Okay. I thought that most Christians were on the same page when it comes down to belief. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was raised, his mother was Jewish. He comes from a Jewish line, the line of David, the line of Judah. He was raised studying in the temple. His father, Joseph, his earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter. At 30 years old, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. He was baptized. God said, "This is my son." And he then began to really preach. He began to heal the sick, heal the blind. He began to preach that he is the Son of God and performed incredible miracles and said that, "Hey, I am the only way. No one gets to the Father except through me." And he then sacrificed himself, and we're acknowledging that on this day, and was buried and put to death and crucified. My gosh, like what they did to him, they whipped him and whipped him. And these whips had like shards of glass and bone fragments attached to them. And they tortured him, and he was buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And that anyone that believes in him, that believes that he's the Son of God, that you repent from your sin and you turn, that you will have eternal life with Jesus. I believe that. I believe that scripture is true. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And I will post most likely this Sunday on all the biblical prophecy that Jesus fulfilled of the coming Messiah. Like it's undeniable. All of the things that he fulfilled, that the prophets spoke that the Messiah had to be, Jesus fulfilled it. And there's still a plan, though, for Israel. And I know this is such a crazy thing for people to hear, because it's like, I didn't know that this was so offensive. I had no idea that this was going to cause a huge rift. And obviously there is a rift in the church, because as you dive into this, there are people called preterists. And preterists believe that once Jesus came, all scripture, all prophecy has been fulfilled. And that's not true. And I know this is going to upset some people. It's not true. And when you start to study, they believe that the abomination of desolation took place under Antiquities the Fourth of what is his name? Antiquities the Fourth of Antiquities the Fourth of Epiphanes. And he did some kind of horror. And this is in 167 BC. So this is before Jesus is even on the scene. This guy goes into the temple. I guess he sacrificed a pig or something like that. And these preterists believe that that was the abomination of desolation that took place, and that Jerusalem was officially destroyed in 70 AD after Christ. And so they believe that all of this biblical prophecy has been fulfilled. And it's not. When you study scripture and you look at Zechariah 14, you're like, this has not happened, and it's going to happen. And then you look at the promises that were made to Abraham concerning the land, concerning the promise to his seed. It's not yet happened to Israel. Now, I know that people are like, well, we've been, that once you're saved, you are an heir of Abraham. You're grafted in, just like Paul talks about in Romans, right? He talks about a grafting in, but then the whole problem is, if you look at what Paul says about, hey, you're grafted into the vine, you receive the promise that was made to Abraham, and you now have eternal life because of Jesus, and you've accepted him as Christ. But then Paul addresses that, and then in Romans 11, he specifically addresses Israel. So if he's addressing the church here, and then he says, okay, but let's remember that there's also a plan for Israel. And he says this so explicitly in Romans 11. There's still a plan for Israel. I still have a plan for them. It's not yet been fulfilled. There's a time their eyes have actually been blinded until the full amount of Gentiles come in to the kingdom. So we're in a moment here where people are getting saved. They're accepting Christ. And Israel's almost like on hold. Okay. And then even when you study eschatology, because I've been immersed in eschatology for like almost the last year, just studying Revelations and Daniel and Ezekiel. And when you start to study this, Israel plays a huge role in end time events. Jesus actually comes down and descends onto the Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem. This is spoken. This has not yet happened, right? Well, preterists believe that all of this happened. It's all done. And we're just here to like kind of be good people. And if you go into, so let me just, I think, because I didn't know this, and I think it's important for everyone to know, because you might be dealing with a preterist when you're talking about Israel, when you're talking about end time events, when you're talking about how all of this plays out. You might be talking to a Christian that believes it's all happened. And I think that a lot of the people that are saying Christ is king online as a slant to Jewish people are preterists. I think that they think that Israel is completely irrelevant, that Israel is, there's no need for Israel, that the church replaces Israel. And so who cares about Israel, right? And that's kind of their take. And that's not my take. And it's not going to be my take going forward. And if that offends you, that's fine. But I don't see it in scripture. I don't align with it. And the more I dig into scripture, the more I still see the call on Israel. Some of the arguments for preterism in debunking is, it was a small war in 70 AD. It wasn't major. And Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. This wasn't a massive thing that took place in 70 AD. There was no mark of the beast. There was no false prophet and antichrist, which there will be. There was no two witnesses that did miracles and called down fire from heaven. The judgment seats, the bowls and the seals and the bowls and the trumpets had not been poured out. All of Israel had not been saved. In Romans 11, Paul specifically says that they will be. When Revelations was written in 90 AD. I don't think people understand that. The destruction of Jerusalem took place in 70 AD. So how was John writing about a futuristic event, which is Revelations and the tribulation, and it's supposed to be something that happened in the past? It can't be. So then that completely contradicts Revelations, right? The gospel would be preached to all the world, and then the end would come. Very little of the world had even heard of the gospel at this time. They didn't even know what Christianity was. The greatest tribulation the world would ever see, that's said in Matthew 24:21. But the world has seen greater tribulation. You look at what happened during the Holocaust in World War II. Millions and millions of Jewish people killed. That's way bigger than what happened to Jerusalem in 70 AD. Matthew 24:23-24, signs and wonders would be so convincing. There were no signs and wonders done during this time. Nothing documented, unless you could send me something. Matthew 24, the moon would be darkened and sun does not give off light. There was no proof that this happened. The Son of Man will appear and all will see. This did not happen. The elect are gathered. And how would Christians then have spread Christianity like it did and began to be a world religion if all the Christians were gathered? Okay, the generation sees that all these things happen that will not pass away. All of these things did not happen.
The abomination of desolation did not happen in 70 AD. And the abomination of desolation that takes place with Antigone the fourth of Epiphanes or whatever his name is, that took place before Jesus came on the scene. And when Jesus was talking about the abomination of desolation, which basically, if you guys don't know, it's where the Antichrist goes into the temple. There's another temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And right now the Dome of the Rock is there, and there's a whole, and that's a Muslim mosque. So there's this whole, like, how is the temple going to be rebuilt if there's a mosque there? So there's conflict over that land right now. Okay. So if, the Antichrist will go into this new temple built and proclaim himself as God. Okay. So that has yet to happen. That's not happened. It's not happened. So to be like, oh, it all happened. It didn't happen. Show me where it happened. And Jesus, when Jesus is talking about the abomination, he's talking about a future event. He's not talking about what Antigone's or whatever did. Okay. So it's just getting the timeline right here. Now, I got to say something. I watched a video, and this guy's been all over my page on Facebook sending this video. And I don't know if you guys have seen it. I don't even know the name of it. I should look it up. But it's basically talking about this global order, right? This global order, globalist order that involves Israel, involves the Rothschilds, involves Freemasons. And a lot of it is true, okay? A lot of it is true. And I think and a lot of people say, well, you know, Israel's bad. Like there can be bad people in every country, right? I mean, do we not have bad people in our country? Do we not have bad rulers in our country? Yes, we do. Okay. So that's not going to say that everything that Israel does is good, or that everything Israel does is perfect, or that I agree with some of the politicians over there, or how they're running things, or what they're doing in reaction to certain other things. I don't have to. Okay. And I also will say, and this is not to be like foreshadowing, but I do think, because the Bible says that eventually all nations rise up against Israel, and the only one that comes in and defends her is God himself, right? That's Zechariah 14. So I do think that the hatred will rise, and it's horrible, but I do believe that you're going to see more and more of it. And I wouldn't put it past people in the Israeli government doing something that enrages the rest of the world. But let's look at it from a biblical perspective. God is outside of time. He's in Genesis over here, just like he's in Revelation over here. He knows who the Rothschilds are. He knows when Israel was established as a nation. He knows the global order, the new world order, the people that are conspiring to take down all borders. He sees it all. And he had people prophesy that it would happen. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zechariah, Amos, like, he sees it. He sees it all. He's not, oh my goodness, these people are conspiring. Like, he sees it all. He's sovereign. And he actually said it would happen. So yes, will people be used to fulfill biblical prophecy? Yes, they will. What's your role in it? I think that's where people struggle. I think it's like, well, we got to stop it. We're going to stop it. We're going to make it. No, you're not. You're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop it. Okay, because what God has spoken will come to pass. His promises are everlasting. What he says is forever. And so it's like, well, what do you do, Rachel? Are you just saying you just lay down and do nothing, that you don't fight? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is we are called to occupy until he comes. That's what we do. And it's pretty egotistical. To be honest with you, you think you're going to stop God's word from being fulfilled? If you think you're going to, I've got this, God, I will solve it. No, you're not. You're not. You're not going to do that. What you're called to do is pray for your leaders, pray for your community, be a witness, be a light, shine bright, preach the gospel, heal the sick, and occupy what God has put in front of you until he comes. That's what we're called to do. That's it. And that's where I've come. Like that, this has been a journey for me, because there was, 2020 really woke me up, because I was in a time where it was like, we're going to pray, we're going to make this stop, we're going to let people see it. Like God is just going to, he's going to reveal it. Sometimes eyes are blinded intentionally. Sometimes God is just like, they can't see it. They're spiritually dead. So I was like, well, then God, what do I do? Like, what do you want me to do? And he's like, occupy until I come. So what do I occupy? I occupy my home, right? I cover my kids in prayer. I work on my marriage and make sure that it's healthy and strong, because a good marriage produces a good, healthy family structure and kids that have consistency, and they're able to rise up and be leaders for such a time as this. I work on that. I plug into a good church and sit under biblical teaching. I share the gospel. I'm a light to those around me. I'm a blessing to those that curse me. That's what we're called to do. It's pretty simple. And I think that we try to get all like, oh, no, it's simple. That's what Jesus called us to do. So that's where I'm at, you know? And yeah, do you expose evil? Yes. Do you call it out? Yes. Do you show, hey, these people are trying to take over the world? Like, this is bad. Like, yeah, you expose it because you're trying to wake other people up, right? I feel like I'm called to be a watchman on the wall. I feel like I'm called to say, hey, you might not see this. I just want you to see it. And whether you accept it or whether you don't, at least just see it. Open your eyes. Try to see it. Like, that's what I feel my role is. But everybody has a role. And it is to occupy your sphere of influence until he comes. So that's kind of what my take on it. And we can dive more into the eschatology that does take place, that could be near or could be far, right? That, and I do feel like God has put that on my heart. It was back after the October 7th event in Israel that God's like, you really need to dive into replacement theology. You need to dive into this. You need to understand it, because people believe that my people have been replaced, and they haven't. And I really started to dive into it. And I think it's very important as a believer. You might not be like, you might not be super into eschatology or anything, but I think it's important because you don't want to be deceived. And I think that there's a lot of deception taking place right now. And I think that really studying God's scripture, what he says, is important. And I take God's word literally. I know that a lot of people, like, if you're going to spiritualize some texts, but then take other texts literally, like it convolutes the whole thing. It makes it very, it's not of God. It's confusing. And God is not the author of confusion. So I read his word and I has this happened? It hasn't happened. So this is unfulfilled. This has to happen still. This has happened. This has happened. This has happened. This has not happened. This has not happened. And I think that's important to do as a believer. So that's my take. And I know that's going to upset some people, but I do feel like I needed to say that. And listen, I was talking to my mom yesterday about all this, because I was like, this has just been a real wake up call, because I really thought, like, when I said I'm a Christian, like, that everybody was on the same page. Like, we might be different denominations, but there are people that literally completely think differently. And they see the world completely differently, and they will live accordingly, because eschatology and all of these end time events have already happened. So it's like, so they're like in this post world right now. And I guess that they believe that they just be good and then you die and then you go to heaven. But a lot of what has been spoken has not yet happened. And that's my take. And God's promises are everlasting. Psalms 105 lays out God's covenant. It's not broken. So anyways, Yeah, there's a ton. Yes, Vanessa, I have. I really highly recommend Amir Safari. He's actually an Israeli that's in Israel, but he converted to Christianity. And he has done a great book. I'm actually doing a study with some of my good friends, Revealing a Revelation. Actually, I have a Bible study after this with my friends. But I've read this over. I'm on the second time reading it through. There's a workbook. This is like such a big promo for Amir. There's like a workbook that comes with it, all scriptural, and it's very clear. And it makes it very clear to understand, but also, I'm going to be honest with you, reading scripture. And like, I was just rereading about the antiquities, of Epiphanes. Why can I not say his name? Antiquities of Epiphanes the Fourth, in Daniel. Daniel 11 talks about it. It basically talks about it is a foreshadowing of what the Antichrist will do. A lot of Daniel is all foreshadowing of what's to come. And a lot of Daniel actually ties into Revelation. So if you dive into Daniel and kind of, I would read that and then move over to Revelation. But then when you start to study some of the prophets, a lot of what they have spoken is still unfulfilled and yet to be fulfilled. And I just rest assured that God is, he sees it all. Like, and I think, and that's another thing, you guys, like what Jesus did for us on the cross is not just eternal salvation. It's not like, okay, now you live forever with God and that's great. But he empowers us and he gives us that peace because it's all taken care of. Now that doesn't mean like, and a lot of people think, well, that just means you just build a bunker and do nothing, like, or just don't even build a bunker. Like, you know, like, and that's where I say that's not, sorry, that's not scriptural. Hold on a second. Sorry. I'm just getting over this stupid cold, but, Jesus, sorry, not only gave his life, but there's such empowerment in scripture. There's a peace, because if I was looking at the world right now and I did not know that God is sovereign and that he's outside of time, and sometimes he will use the bad guys to fulfill prophecy, like we might be seeing with Israel and Hamas and all this stuff. And I think that's going to escalate. I think that you're going to see more stuff with Israel. You're going to see more people hate Israel. That's all prophetic. It's all been spoken. And sadly, what's hard for me to see is people that I really like being used to fulfill biblical prophecy, where I'm like, oh, I didn't think you would say that, or you would think that. But maybe they're being used to bring about what God has spoken. So I rest in that. But dive into scripture. Honestly, guys, just, and it's funny because people are like, your take on end time events, or your take on 70 AD, you know, is all because, you know, you're reading some kind of Bible. I guess it's a Scofield Bible or something like that. I don't read that Bible. I don't even know anything about it. Like, I just read the Bible scripturally. Like, I read it literally, and that's how I interpret things. Or another people were saying Darby, and I was like, I don't even know who Darby is. Like, so I like look him up. I'm like, I don't like, it's not, I'm not sitting under some massive theologian and being fed what they think. I'm just reading the Bible. So, anyways, yes. And God, amen, Andy, God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you discernment, right? Like it, I mean, I would be lost without the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 10 years old. And I have evidence of gifts and I use them. And because I believe that if I did not tap into the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, it's easy to be discerned. I mean, it's easy to be deceived, but the Holy Spirit offers discernment. And like, I can kind of see things, like you can kind of, it kind of will, the Holy Spirit will foreshadow what's coming. And I do see more stuff with Israel coming. I do see more hatred arising. I do see potentially Israel doing something that causes more hatred. And eventually, you know, we start to see more and more play out. But pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Israel. God blesses those that bless Israel. He curses those that curse Israel. Like, that is truth. God said it. Well, he said it. And walk in love, right? As a Christian, like, are you walking in love? Do you, you know, because a lot of, I feel like a lot of these people shouting Christ is King. They're saying it because they're mad, right? They believe that these Jewish people, they crucified their Messiah, and oh, you know, how dare you do that? And you see that anti-Semitism actually crept in very early with Constantine. He blended a lot of pagan religion with Christianity, and he hated the Jewish people. Like, he hated them. And then when you start to study Martin Luther, the branch off of Christianity, of Protestantism, I cannot say that word. But when you start to see, he actually, like the theology of Luther, which is, and I do agree with that, you can go directly to the Father and have a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't have to go to the Pope or through a priest or confess sins to any. I believe it's, you have a direct relationship with Jesus. And I agree with Luther. And he presented that to the Jewish people, and they rejected him. And after that, Luther became very angry. And you read some of his writings, very anti-Semitic, like heavily anti-Semitic. So you see that this root of anti-Semitism came into the church early on. And you've got a lot of people that are, oh, you know, you crucified our Messiah, you killed our Messiah, and there's anger there. But what did Jesus say when he was hanging on that cross? What did he say? He said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And that's what we're called to do. We're called to walk in forgiveness. And it's very difficult to do. I get it. A lot of people out there, you've been hurt, you've been wounded, you've had someone just rip into you or tear you up or commit such an atrocity on you that forgiving them is just seems unsurmountable. You can't do it. But if Jesus can forgive, then we can too. And if we don't forgive, then how can the Father forgive us? So you have to walk in forgiveness. You have to say, you know what? I'm going to let it go. And my pastor says, unforgiveness is like drinking poison while you're trying to hurt the person that hurt you. It doesn't help you. It's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you, right? So you got to forgive. And if we walk in forgiveness and we really are an example of Christ here on this earth, that attracts, right? That attracts people to the faith instead of pushes them away from it. And I'm all about bringing people in because I know that God's heart is that none should perish, right? So that's it for me today. God bless you all. I'm thankful for you. I'm a shout out to my supporters on Patreon and Facebook and those that give to me monthly. It is a blessing. It allows me to keep doing this. And I'm hoping it grows. I really am hoping it grows because I've got a lot of tournament baseball to pay for. So, but it also helps me buy wigs and justifies me continuing doing this instead of not. So thank you for my Patreon supporters and my Facebook supporters. I'm very thankful for you guys. God bless you all. I'm going to go drink some more tea and have a great weekend. He is risen indeed. All right. God bless you guys.